to understand realities as they are, but the self is trying to that point.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's impossible. It's not the right way. No understanding. But if there is no understanding right now, how can there be understanding? Then we know the conditions for understanding to arise. Listen, considering whether it's right or wrong, and don't think about experiencing directly or having sati awareness right then or getting close to nibbana. That's all the hindrance.
But knowing at that moment it's just a moment of thinking, that's it.
Whatever arises has arisen already now. No one can do anything at all. You think that you'd like to have it, but at that moment it's conditioned to be there. No need to seek or to look for anything else. Just understand whatever appears.
But often the problem is that we want more than just this.
Right. And that is attachment lopa and cheating again.
At the beginning of this discussion, it actually started off because there were some comments about what other people had said, and you made a comment about being untouched by praise and blame when there's awareness of realities or when there's understanding. One's untouched by the worldly conditions such as praise and blame. Would you say a little bit more?
What's the use of being touched? That's all.
Being disturbed by one's own thinking. One thinks it's what one's heard, but actually it's one's own thinking that disturbs.
The clinging to the idea of self, it's me, it's there, when there's touch.
Yeah. Finding oneself important.
Yeah.
And we can think concerned in terms of karma also.
Anything can arise.
I mean, the eight worldly conditions are results of karma.
If you have right understanding and the other says that you do not have a right understanding, it doesn't matter at all. It doesn't get away your understanding.
And the same if you have metta and others, if you have no metta, it doesn't matter at all.
The one who has metta does not speak evil about the others. So who has metta and who doesn't have metta, see? It's not just the words.
You say one who has metta doesn't speak evil of others. Would it also be the case they don't think evil of others?
And no use, because that person is that person. Yeah. Their words cannot make him better or worse.
What do you mean the words cannot make him
worse or better? By just the words that the other people say. So study this moment. Understand reality right now. Always begin.
But that comes from listening only.
And considering as well.
Yeah.
Until it's one's own understanding, one's own panya.
Can you say considering?
It's
Are
not
you including intellectual understanding?
And it's not you, because we use the term considering, but they are all dhammas, the sopana dhammas. But without considering, it passed with no intention at all. No attention to understand. That's why listen carefully and consider it, contemplate, until panya sees. Like Dhamma, just one word. Anyone who understands Dhamma perfectly, that's the Aryan.
But when you say study this moment, you mean not intentionally?
No. Can you have other intention, because it always arises with each moment already?
Well, you do have other intention, but...
By you or by conditions?
By conditions.
Yeah, so it's there with each moment of citta. You take it for mind, intention, but actually it's just a reality which performs that function.
So even conventional activities where we sometimes allow for having intention and doing things because of intention, even that we should understand as being conditioned.
Just Dhamma. In order to really understand Dhamma, as everything is Dhamma.
And on the listening and considering, you were saying earlier that different people can listen to exactly the same words, but interpret it according to their own understanding. So it's not a matter of just what one hears, but by stressing the considering, it really depends on the understanding, the way one reflects or considers or appreciates what one heard. So I think considering is a very deep word, actually.
Yeah. And instead of saying that I said this and I said that, what about your own understanding after you have heard that? And then if you would like to talk about it, then bring it as topic to talk. Rather than I said this and I don't know whether I really said that, Because you see that they said that I said, don't think, something like that. I didn't say that, but they think that I said.
So even Sutta Maya Panya is not, I said this, or the Buddha said this or that. It's also a level of understanding.
Right, one's own understanding.
Not what one just read and can recite at all.
And when you say consider, it's Chinta Maya Panya and Sutta Maya.
It's the moment of understanding, because all jetasikas perform their functions so that panya can understand that. They're all dhammas, no matter what term we use, considering or reading or hearing. It's so natural, because now everything which appears is a dhamma. It depends on whether there is understanding that it's dhamma or just do not have any understanding at all. Just hearing about it, but not the understanding, its characteristic which is appearing.
Is Sutta Maya Panya similar to Pariyatti?
Yes. So Pariyatti is not just reading. It has to be Panya.
But Pariyatti seems to cover Chinta Maya Panya as well.
No, I don't think so. I think that it helps or it conditions Panya. Without hearing or reading, can one think about Dhamma by oneself? So Chinta is not one's own, but after hearing. So in the absolute sense, Buddha himself did have Chintamaya Panya of the holy or noble truths, but the others have to listen and consider until it becomes one's own understanding.
So Sutta Maya Panya, Chinta Maya Panya, and Mahabhavana Maya Panya is a different concept to Pariyatti Patipatti and Pativeda. It may overlap, but still there is a difference.
It depends on understanding. For example, when we use the term study, something about books, something's about hearing. But is that study? One can read without any understanding. One can hear without any understanding. So it's panya, which comes from reading or considering.
We say about them that it's panya that comes from, or panya based on listening and considering. Is that the same as saying listening or considering with panya?
Without panya, it cannot be considered as study.
So it is listening with panya,
right.
So it's the
same. Always with panya, right understanding.
And in worldly matters, such as mathematics and logic and philosophy, we cannot use the word understanding.
It's not panya.
It's just thinking, moments of thinking after moments of thinking.
We can use the term wisely, but wisely is not panya. It can be lopa. Wise, lopa, but it's not panya. It's so very crafty. It knows how to get what it likes.
It can be lopa.
When we're referring to the panya with Sutta Maya Panya or Chinta Maya Panya, can it also include the panya with samatha development also, or only satipatthana, any kind of panya?
Panya is panya, no matter what one is hearing and there is understanding. It's not samatha yet, it's not vipassana yet, but it's panya,
so
which
any
understands.
Panya can be included. And yesterday evening you were talking about sila seeker, citta seeker, panya seeker, which is something new for me. Any reason you were emphasizing?
Because people think about sila and samadhi and panya, but it's only rules for sila for monks and for lay people, 5 rules. Or we better not say rule, but it's the intention to live that way. But is it the sikha? Because sikha should be developed, or I don't know whether we can use the word practice or training in one's life. So if we read about the 5 sila and we do against it, is it sikha or not sikha? Because if you are asked what are the 5 silas and you can tell them, is that sikha? Because you know the 5 and you can tell the others. It is not sikha.
There's no understanding. Okay.
That's why there is another word follows the sila, sikha patha. Patha is to train. And when it's sila, citta and bhavana, they arise together, not separate like sin, sikha, and samadhi, sikha, and panya, sikha. It can be one at a time. And so it's not ati sila, ati citta, and ati panya.
Because no understanding at all.
Atisila and Atichitta and Atipanya are at the moment of awareness because it's the real Sikha.
So Sila, Citta, Panya, Sikha, Pata, is it the same as Adi Sila, Adi Citta, Adi Panya, or how is it different?
Ati is very fine and refined and better. Okay. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily with Panya then?
It is. Sila. When it's Ati Sila.
No, the other one.
The other one can be only Sila, yeah, or Citta, Samadhi.
But you were saying, for example, Sila, Sikha, Pata must be with some understanding.
When we use the term Sikha or Sikkhapata, it means to train to, yes, to follow, not just to know or to understand.
Yes. But there can't be any training if there's no understanding.
It depends on what you mean by training, mm-hmm, because as the general Sila, and one follows the Sila, it's a level of training, right, too.
So can we say it includes all kinds of training? So even when it's samadhana, undertaking of sila, it can be included in
sikha? It's not a matter of word, but it's a matter of following with or without understanding, yes, at what level.
And at that moment when it's being followed. Yeah.
Whether it's just following an instruction or because it's one's habit or whether it's really a trend.
We were talking before about trying to do something and who's trying, because it's arisen already. So at the moment of trying to be aware, it's arisen already, hasn't it? It's like when you realize that you're trying to do something. It's
what's
there
the
already.
Result? What well, one gets right, from trying.
Driven, I imagine.
Uh-huh.
So what would be the right object at that time? The loka.
The loka.
You can,
okay,
you can do that the whole day, but it doesn't bring about any understanding of reality right now at all. Just hoping to know what, not now.
Something you said a while back, when you talk about thinking and considering, right thinking and right considering, unless it is with right understanding, then it's not really considering Dhamma at all.
It depends on what level. For example, thinking is so ordinary. There is thinking after seeing. There can be the unknown thinking, and there can be moment of knowing that it's thinking, not seeing. But no understanding of thinking as a reality, not self.
Thinking is a reality.
Because now there is thinking.
Right, but not the same as seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think her question is that, for example, one may even be considering Dhamma, but if one is considering without any understanding, if one's considering in the wrong way, for example, then it's not actually what we can call considering.
It's
or
wrong considering.
Yes. It's wrong considering.
Yes. Okay.
So if there's no asking,
no panya,
if there's no panya, if there's no understanding,
mm-hmm,
it's not actually what we would call mm-hmm considering, because it's not right.
Because considering can be either wrong or right, wholesome or unwholesome.
I mean, it may be considering about a particular sutta or even words you're saying now, but even that can be rightly or wrongly at that moment.
I should like to raise a matter which has deeply upset me in the last few months. It goes to the heart of the teachings, to the meaning of anatta. I have always, and I'm still deeply impressed by the profoundly human and compassionate nature of Buddhism. I've considered the perfections, the five khandhas of grasping, the five hindrances, the four brahmaviharas. It covers everything completely of human life and of human nature. And it goes to the heart of the human existence. And when one reads the suttas, one is always impressed by the immense compassion of the Buddha in talking to anyone in his surroundings, to a sick monk, or to any people, to all his disciples. Now, what bothers me is that sometimes as it is said, referring to anatta, there is no Nina, there is no Lodewijk, there is no Buddha. If that is said, to put it quite crudely, and I apologize for it, such sayings, in my view, dehumanize Buddhism. And frankly speaking, saying there is no Nina, there is no Ajahn, there is no Buddha, it just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense, for instance, with regard to metta. What is the meaning? What is the essence of metta if there is no body towards whom to have metta? And I think, but my understanding is very weak, I think that that is not the essence of anatta. We are human beings. The human being is born, is composed of conditioned rupas and conditioned namas. And the human being is broken up at death. But one cannot say there is no human being. If that is said, and if that would be the essence, it bothers me and it upsets me. And I have said to Nina, if that were to be the truth, I can't follow it anymore. And then I shall step back and leave the discussion. Could you please enlighten us about the meaning of anatta? As I understood it, there is no permanent self, no self which directs one's life and which makes decisions, because everything is conditioned. There is no permanent self. But one cannot say, in my view, there is no being, there is no Lodewijk, there is no Nina. Please enlighten me on this point. And I hope, please give me some reassurance and some guidance.
The point is the truth, no matter we like it or not.
Yes.
It's true.
Yeah.
Why people are different?
Born with different conditions.
Can we control?
No, we cannot control it.
If there was no Paramada Dharma at all, no citta, no cetasika, yeah, no rupa, can there be what we call Lodewijk or Nina or Ashita?
Yes, we can.
No but rupa, no citta, no cetasika, can there be something that we take for Nina or Ashita? There must be something.
Yes.
And what is the nature of that thing? What is the true nature?
The true nature is that it is impermanent, that it falls away, that
yeah,
it is...
At moment of seeing, if we think in terms of I see, or if it's the moment of a conditioned nama, because in reality there are different realities. One is that which cannot experience anything,
yes,
and the other is that which has to. Whenever it arises, yes, it experiences,
yes,
a reality.
Yes.
No matter we call it citta or not citta, cetasika, yeah, or not cetasika, it's there. So if one closes one's eyes, what is seen?
There's no seeing.
When there is no seeing, there's no visible object appearing.
Yeah.
When there is no hearing, there is no sound appearing at all. In reality, there are only different realities which can be experienced through different doorways.
Yes.
Thinking at the first moment of birth, no one there, just that which arises, which is not just rupa, not tumor, but that which can experience an object. But at moment of birth, since there is no seeing, hearing, smelling, thinking yet, even it arises and experiences, but the object of experiencing does not appear, right?
Yes.
No Nina, no one yet. And it keeps on arising and falling away by conditions,
yes,
until there is the idea of someone after seeing or something,
yes,
after seeing. What is seen is only a reality, but you think about someone there all the time by memory, sanya, which marks the characteristic of the shape or form of what is seen.
Yes.
So one lives with idea about something stay or permanent all the time until there is no lasting visible object. Then one knows that actually what is seen is just a reality. It's so very difficult to really get rid of the idea of self, of thing, of people. But what is the truth? While one is asleep tonight, where are we? Where are our home, friends, family? Even at the moment of being fast asleep, everything's gone, nothing there. But since it's not the last moment, the death consciousness, it conditioned the other moment after one wakes up to be seeing, hearing, smelling and thinking again and again the whole day and gone completely when one is fast asleep again. So life is like this. It's the circle of moment to moment appearing. I have to die. Everyone has to die. We were born to die. Nina and Lodewijk and everyone. So where would we be after death?